Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to his disciples, ask, seek, and knock. This is a command to pray. And it's a command to pray not just once in a while, not to pray casually, kind of tossing off a prayer every once in a while. Jesus says to ask and keep on asking. Keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Be persistent in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Knock at that door until it's opened to you, because God is there and God will open it in God's time and in God's way. So I'm wondering, do we take this command to pray seriously? Do we take prayer seriously? Do we expect to receive an answer to our prayers? Or does it seem kind of unlikely that our prayer has any effect on God? Do we think, well, maybe God doesn't need our prayers, or God doesn't pay attention to our prayers? Maybe you know the pain of unanswered prayer. And I say unanswered when I really mean unanswered in the way that we would like, because we all know that no is, in fact, an answer. And God may say no to our prayers, and no is a painful thing to hear. Whether you are proposing to a woman that you love and she turns you down, or whether you have applied for a job and you don't get the job, or as in the case of a friend of mine, you are submitting a manuscript to a publishing company and they send it back. My oldest friend from childhood, we met when I was about 5 years old, and we grew up reading books together. And we would talk about the books, and we would move around the books in our that we owned on our bookcases. And she was the one who kept pushing us to try to write stories together. And that was kind of difficult, so we didn't do very well at that. But she actually kept on writing after we had stopped trying to do it together. And she would write me long letters, and then later she would write me long emails. And I confess that I wrote back much shorter than she did. And then she became a college professor for a number of years, and she would write professional articles. And then when her son was born, she started writing children's books, or children's fiction. And she's been working on a children's novel for about the past 10 years or so. She has sent this book to agents, and received a lot of no's, and received some very lukewarm encouragement. She edited the book, she shortened it, she sent it out again, got some more feedback, and has kept on editing it. And I have read this book in a couple of its different versions, and I have seen a wonderful improvement in this book. And now she is ready to send it out again. She's going to take that leap of faith that maybe one day she will get a yes. This has been actually a very painful process for her because she tends to take rejection personally, as I think many of us do, but she has not given up. She's got a lot of confidence in her story, and so she keeps knocking at that door, hoping that it will open for her one day. And I think that this is the kind of persistence that Jesus is talking about when he tells us to keep on asking and seeking and knocking in prayer. And I also think that this is the kind of significant, worthwhile goal that we should be pursuing in our prayer. Prayer is about serious stuff. And I'm guessing that many of us know people, perhaps ourselves, who have prayed for things like parking spaces and then found them. And we also, many of us know people who have prayed for healing for loved ones and have not had a cure. Does this mean that God is more ready to grant parking spaces than God is to grant healing from disease? I don't think so. And it makes me wonder if parking spaces are in fact a worthy subject of our prayers. And I would say that perhaps they are at times. A former parishioner told me that she was able to get to the hospital in time to hear a loved one's last words because she prayed for a parking space. That's serious stuff. But perhaps in our daily lives, maybe parking spots shouldn't be at the top of our list. And Jesus gives us some examples of some things that we might pray for. He tells us in this passage, you know, if your child asks for bread or fish, you're going to pay attention to that. And he suggests that we are like children. We're asking for food, we're asking for subsistence, and God is ready to give good things to those who ask. Jesus says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give good things to those who ask? We're to pray for good things and to expect that we will receive them. And if God is a better parent than even the best parent we have ever known, doesn't that mean that God is breathtakingly ready to give us what is good for us? You know, in a loving relationship, a child isn't afraid to ask. A child will ask for a toy or for lunch or for a pony or for a nightlight or for affection. A child will ask and ask. And the parent will recognize that what the child is asking for, if it's not good, the parent may say no. But that doesn't stop a child from asking without inhibitions because the child trusts the parents and the child has received good things in the past. Our God is generous and is ready to give. We're not being selfish when we ask. We're simply sharing this deep desire that with the one who cares about us most. But haven't you had someone who's hard to give to? You wonder every time their birthday or Christmas comes around, you go, oh my gosh, what am I going to get for so-and-so? And you have asked them over and over again, what would you like for your birthday? And they say something like, oh, you don't have to give me anything. Or they say, I'll like anything that you give me. Or worse, they'll say, I'll just buy what I need for myself. I think it's so sad when we don't have the opportunity to give someone something that they really want. My granddaughter Cadence was here recently, and she said to me, Grandma, would you make me a purple sweater to go with my purple scarf? Well, of course I would. I was just delighted to say yes. And she and I sat down and we picked out a sweater pattern together, and I knit it up super fast, faster than I'd made anything before, and because I really wanted it to get to her before the weather turned warm. Sent it off, and now each time I open my phone, I've got a photo there of this happy little girl wearing a purple sweater. I was thrilled to be able to give her what she wanted, and it was something good for her and something good for me, too. God wants to give good things when we ask. But what does God feel like when we don't ask? When we kind of shrug our shoulders and say to God, well, you don't have to give me anything. Or I'll just buy it for myself. Really? Is that how we treat God? Have we gotten into the habit of thinking that we can provide for ourselves so well that we don't need anything from God? In fact, maybe God's a little bit unnecessary in our lives. Maybe we don't ask because we've gotten in the habit of thinking that we're the most important givers in our life. God is the foundation of all the good things that we have. God has given us a wonderful creation in which we have bread and fish to eat and sustain us. And God has given us sunsets and waterfalls to nourish us with beauty. And the warmth of the sun and the spring days, the warmth that's coming out these past few days to wake up the snowdrops and the winter aconites. God has given a family to raise us and a community to nourish us. If you think that you are giving yourself everything you need, you might want to start making a list. And I would start with a list of things that you haven't been responsible for in your life. Maybe the fact that you didn't choose the family that you were born into, that you didn't make that enormous silver maple that's standing in your front yard, or the river of stars in the sky. Start with that list if you think you are responsible for everything. And then consider making a list of prayers that you have offered and note how they have been answered. And this is something that will probably take a while. Note when you have a particular prayer and then come back, keep coming back to that list and say, has that prayer been answered in any way? We've mentioned this morning prayers that are being answered even as we speak. Art and Eloise Lewis have been giving thanks that their son David is recovering, and they attribute that to the power of prayer. I know Warren and Darla have been giving thanks for the power of prayer in the healing of their daughter, Terry. And David and Terry aren't completely cured. It's not as if everything is back to the way it was before, but they are here, and that is an answered prayer. As I've said, sometimes the answer to prayer is no, or sometimes, perhaps even more often, the answer is wait. For instance, if you've had a falling out with somebody who's important to you, reconciliation may take a long time, maybe a long while coming. But just consider doing that. Consider keeping a prayer journal and watch over time to see how your prayers are answered. And I bet you'll find that they're often answered in surprising ways. So what are you praying for? Are you asking for the things that are good? For the things that are really important? Because prayer is serious. Are you expecting an answer from God? Are you really praying for peace in Syria, peace in Colombia, world peace? And if we're not praying for peace, why not? Do we think that God is unlikely to answer prayers for peace? I mean, Jesus said near the end of his life, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I interpret this to mean that we should be praying for peace everywhere, not just peace in one place and not just peace in general, but very specific peace in those places torn apart by violence. I think that our prayers had better not just be for ourselves and our loved ones. I think that a mature faith takes the biggest possible view of things, and that the mature Christian prays for our community, our nation, our world. And if we knew what to pray for in our universe, we should probably be praying for that as well. Above all, ask and seek and knock and keep on doing it. Pray without ceasing. And pray expecting a serious response. Pray for your enemies, whether that means Nancy Pelosi or Donald Trump, whether your enemies are Russia or ISIS, pray for them. And don't pray for their failure. Pray that you might love them. Pray and keep on praying for everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. I want to close with something that I heard recently. A few weeks ago, I preached on the passage that contained the words, you are the light of the world. And I didn't really focus on the light part very much, I think. I talked a little bit more about the salt and the salt of the earth. But after I preached, I heard a sermon podcast from a pastor in a different part of the country, and I wanted to share something that he said. He said, look for ways to shine in the darkness. And you may be telling yourself, I don't know if I have that much to offer. I don't know if I am capable of shining. And this pastor went on to say, if it doesn't seem like we're shining, it means we have not gone far enough into the darkness. There's a whole lot of darkness out there, And God's plan to light the darkness is us. And these words have been troubling me ever since. We are God's plan to bring light to the world. And our prayers are part of the way that this will happen. You know, our prayers aren't going to necessarily change God's mind. We're not going to force God to do something that's against our good or that's against the common good. But our prayers may change us. As we increasingly come to share in God's love for the whole world, I warn you that something's likely to happen the more we pray, that we are going to begin to act out of that love, love like God's. And we will begin to be the answer to our prayers and those of others. So pray. Pray for peace. Pray for love. Pray without ceasing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.